Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's Fashion with Penelope Noir.
Bum, bum, bum. Hey Penny, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, nice to see you. We're getting a bit royal this morning. What are we talking about today?
Well, I mean, we can talk about the Queen, but I thought I'd just go a bit deeper because one of the things that's really fascinated me is how many people are part of the royal household.
Yes.
So I thought it would be quite fun to talk about the wardrobe and the great wardrobe of the royals. So it's kind of probably going a bit more history than fashion.
Oh, well, it's all part of the same sort of world, really, isn't it?
Yeah. As most people would know, there is always like a lot of attendance for the British royal family. I imagine probably King Louis XV at Versailles, probably he had 5,000 attendants. So
whoa,
he probably rules in that kind of like era. There is, if you want to Google it, you can see positions of the British royal household, and there's quite a few of them. They've got some interesting names. There's ones that are like royal painter, purse bearer.
Purse bearer?
Yeah.
This is just when you walk out carrying your bag.
Which I thought, oh my God, is that like the Queen's person that looks after her purse when she has a cup of tea? Because, you know, she's always got it on her arm. But no, it's not that. So I thought I'd go into a bit of the history. So basically, the King's wardrobe together with the chamber made up the personal part of the King's household originally in like sort of like the 12th century, I guess.
Right.
It also stored kind of, they also looked after, well, originally it was the room that stored the King's clothing and all that sort of thing. Because in those days, what would happen is people would sleep in a chamber and mm-hmm. then right next door was a secure room where all their valuables were kept. And of course, clothing was valuable because it yeah. cost so much to make.
And it's so, you know, everything they wore for a reason. And I mean, that's still the case, as yep. any woman's magazine will have you know as well.
She's wearing the ring Diana wore.
Oh my God.
And of course, in medieval times, like with King John and Henry III, when they travelled, their wardrobe travelled with them.
Wow.
And what's quite interesting is that's where you get the fiscal element being broken out of the wardrobe versus the great wardrobe,
okay.
because the king's gold was always on hand so they could spend it, whereas like the exchequer was a fixed place, like the treasurer, you had to go and apply to use the money.
Right.
So
the king was just like jangly pockets.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Gold doubloons and
and he'd be
that's
able to,
why the costumes were so big. It's just to hold all the gold
yeah,
in the pockets.
Totally. Yeah. I want to buy that horse. You know.
Here you go.
So in the medieval times, that position became like really controlling because, you know, it controlled the money, that sort of thing. In the 13th century, kind of broken out into the Great Wardrobe. They transferred all the exchequer positions into the Great Wardrobe.
So what is the Great Wardrobe?
So the Great Wardrobe is like cloth, tapestries, clothing, furniture, spices, sugar and...
Spices?
Yeah, dried fruit.
Oh, dried fruit in your wardrobe.
That was like rare and valuable stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
I got you.
They were all stored in the Tower of London. It involved people like the King's tailor, armourer, confectioner, all that sort of thing. The Privy Wardrobe became just armour and weapons. And so that was, they kind of, yeah, went from the exchequer to the great wardrobe changing over who had the control. In modern times, there were... you know, there were kind of a lot of like the master and mistress of the robe, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. We still have the mistress of the robe, although Queen Elizabeth II only had two, and her last one passed away last year, so the position's been vacant for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the mistress of the robes is responsible for the Queen's clothing, jewellery, and roster of ladies-in-waiting.
Oh, crikey.
Wow.
It's always a duchess in modern times. Up until Victoria, it was a political appointment, changing with the government, which I thought was quite
Whoa.
Fascinating.
Up until Victoria, that's not even that far back in history.
1901.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was, of course, the groom of the robes who looks after the ceremonial robes. So every time they have a coronation. So that person is always just appointed now just when there's a special occasion.
Wow.
And the most fascinating one, or the one that is quite interesting, groom of the stool.
What?
Oh no.
I was thinking little seat, but I'm looking at the look on your face, I'm thinking it's not about the little seat.
Originally it was the little seat.
Okay.
But then it turns into what you think it is.
Like the type you send off to the doctor.
Yes.
Oh wow. Oh,
yeah. God. Because people used to examine them.
Oh.
People used to examine them to check out the health of the monarch.
I wonder how much they got paid. Surely,
well, interestingly enough, because they were the person that was the most intimate with the monarch, they were the most powerful. At one point...
Big price to pay, though.
At one point, Henry VII, his groom of the stool, became responsible for the national fiscal policy.
What? Oh my God.
Yeah, because he was so powerful. But he had...
It's really hard to take the UK seriously sometimes, honestly.
The groom of the stool.
He's also the finance person.
Yeah, weird, eh? But and they became, under Elizabeth I, they changed the name. They kept it.
God, we're kids, aren't we?
Yes. They changed it under Victoria, and it was like groom of the stole. Well, I don't know why. Maybe
they
just misspelt it. But it's also the first lady of the bedchamber or gentleman of the bedchamber.
Wow.
Was another kind of one.
There's a band name there if you want.
Yeah. But I thought that was quite fascinating. But, you know, Queen Elizabeth, I think, had 12 people in her wardrobe.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the first.
No, the second.
Oh, the second?
The second.
The one that just died?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we can go into that like more next week. I'll elaborate a bit more on that one.
Yeah, we can definitely do that because her wardrobe is quite interesting.
Yeah.
I just Googled who the designer was. Mary Angela Kelly, who made all those little, you know, coloured outfits.
Yeah.
That she wore. Yeah, I'd be keen to have a chat about that. That was fascinating. Thank you, Penny.
I've got to say that if you're interested in this kind of thing, there is actually, you can go and check out the Royal Wardrobe Records from circa 1154 up to 1830.
Whoa!
And they're available on the nationalarchives.gov.uk, and that'll give you more information because I find this stuff fascinating.
Yeah, totally. So the records go that far back?
Yeah, because they were spending money, so everything had to be accounted for. So so it's the wardrobe versus the great wardrobe, like the entire royal household. They had to account for what they were spending.
Far out.
Because they were borrowing money from people as well and having to pay it back to keep the household going.
Whoa, that is so interesting. Thank you for bringing us the great wardrobe this morning, Penelope Noir. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir. We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.